Now on the English programme, we return to Villette by Charlotte Bronte. We're looking in the previous episode at the problem of this child, and the description here, taken straight from the text. When I say child, this is referring to the child being at his elbow. I use an inappropriate and undescriptive term, it says here, a term suggesting any picture rather than that of the demure, and that was I had a problem with that word. I still don't know how you pronounce that word. Never mind. Little person in a morning frock and white chemisette that might just have fitted a good-sized doll, perched now on a high chair beside a strand, whereon was her toy workbox of white varnished wood, and holding in her hands a shred of a handkerchief which she was professing to hem, and at which she bored perseveringly with a needle that in her fingers seemed almost a skewer, pricking herself ever and anon. Anon is a very, very old word which we don't use very often now, but it seems to pop up in all these classic books, marking the cambric with a track of minute, or minute even, red dots, occasionally starting when the perverse weapon swerving from her control. I'm trying to picture this. I haven't got a clue. Is this something to do with sewing or something? Inflicted a deeper stab than usual, but still silent, diligent, absorbed, womanly. Graham was, at that time, a handsome, faithless-looking, whatever that is, youth of 16. I say faithless-looking, not because he was really of a very perfidious disposition. Wow, all these big words here. But because the epithet strikes me as proper to describe the fair Celtic, not Saxon, says here in brackets, character of his good looks. His waved light auburn hair, his supple symmetry, his smile frequent and destitute neither of fascination nor of subtlety, in no bad sense, a spoiled, whimsical boy he was in those days. Mother, he said, after eyeing this little figure before him in silence for some time, and when the temporary absence of Mr. Home from the room relieved him from the half-laughing bashfulness which was all he knew of timidity, Mother, I see a young lady in the present society to whom I have not been introduced. Mr. Home's little girl, I suppose you mean, said his mother. Indeed, ma'am, replied her son, I consider your expression of the least ceremonious. Miss Home, I should certainly have said, in venturing to speak of the gentlewoman to whom I allude. Now, Graham, I will not have that child teased. Don't flatter yourself that I shall suffer you to make her your butt. Now, Graham, I will not have that child teased. Oh, hang on, read that one, sorry. Move on, this, the page, the autocue thing wasn't working then. Right, Miss Home, pursued Graham, undeterred by his mother's remonstrance, might I have the honour to introduce myself, since no one else seems willing to render you and me that service, your slave, John Graham Breton. She looked at him. He rose and bowed quite gravely. She deliberately put down thimble, scissors, work, descended with precaution from her perch, and curtsying with unspeakable seriousness, said, "How do you do? I have the honour to be in fair health, only in some measure fatigued with a hurried journey. I hope, ma'am, I see you well." "Tolerably well. Tolerably well." Wow, you know, Pilar, we should read this first before we broadcast it. All these big words with long syllables and things, was the ambitious reply of the little woman, and she now essayed to regain her former elevation, but finding this could not be done without some climbing and straining, a sacrifice of decorum not to be thought of, and being utterly disdainful of aid in the presence of a strange young gentleman, she relinquished the high chair for a low stool. Towards that low stool, Graham stood in his chair. "I hope, ma'am, the present residence, my mother's house, appears to you a convenient place of abode." And we take a break there. More from Villette by Charlotte Bronte tomorrow on the English programme.